You mentioned that his story is similar to the story that we've heard from other people who have claimed physical contact. This is not too difficult to tell a story. I have never had a physical contact. I have never seen anything, and I'm a non-believer. But I think that at the present moment, I am more than qualified to also tell a great story that would not only be similar, it would be identical to all of the other stories, because I've read many of the books. I've had the pleasure of talking with many of the people. This knowledge is not enjoyed by just a handful of people. This knowledge is common knowledge to the public in general today. I think that the only knowledge that evidently is not made available to the general public is the manner in which you should first orient yourself before you try to attempt to receive telepathic communication. No comments? Perfectly right, sir.
No, it really didn't call for an
That's
answer.
Right.
Other,
You're welcome to
but
a
I
comment.
would add a comment to this, that in trying to prove something in the saucer field is a pretty difficult thing, but to my satisfaction, I feel that Howard has had contacts, and I'll drop it at that.
Fine. Thank you. Jim Mosley?
Well, John, this brings me up to one of my favorite subjects, and that is George Adamski. I'd like to ask Art how he feels about that particular contact case. What is your opinion on Mr. Adamski?
Well, I would say that I feel that Adamski's works are quite authentic. I know his first book and his first sighting was observed by other people, and there was other information that seemed to hold true, that perhaps there was a picture taken of this. Now, I haven't seen this picture taken from an aircraft of his first contact, but there perhaps is one that may show up in time.
You went a little bit fast for me. Let's start over. You said you read the first Adamski book.
Yes.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say that there's a picture that may be available?
Well, let's put it this way. Van Tassel made this statement, and again, it is hearsay because it comes through different people, but practically everything in this field is hearsay.
Yes.
But I say that it may come out sometime. Van Tassel claims to have talked with an Air Force man who claimed to have seen a two-hour movie of the first Adamski contact on a desert.
This man saw a two-hour movie?
Right. I'm quoting Van Tassel. He has made this statement in public, and so
may I ask, who is supposed to have made this picture? I'm not asking for the exact name. In other words, some branch of our government, or did the Venusians have some equipment with them and in turn eventually developed the film and turned it over to somebody?
According to Adamski, there were an aeroplane or aeroplanes circling around the area during this contact.
Not saucers, aeroplanes.
No, aeroplanes.
Yes.
And then, in tying the thing together, there was no definite statement made, but that a movie was seen of this contact. Now, that may come out in time, and I can go no further because I
don't want you to go any further, but you're certainly going to have to answer this question.
I am quoting somebody else.
Right. Why is this being held back?
Well, you will have to ask the people who hold it back. I will tell you of an incident that happened in Washington, D.C. in relation to this.
All right.
We went to Washington, D.C. to the Office of Public Information to find out what we could find about flying saucers. We met a young gentleman in the office. There were three gentlemen in the office, back office, and one gentleman in front office and the secretary. And they looked at us as though a few fellows with some loose marbles had come in, because we were looking for flying saucer information from the public of office or the Office of Public Information. Mm-hmm. So we asked, being as they were the Office of Public Information, to show us how they evaluated this, being as they stated there was nothing to this flying saucer talk. And they showed us an old blue book, which has been, mentioned many times, and said that this was the information on it, and asked us if we wanted to look at it. Well, we knew what it was because we had seen where this had been talked of or discussed before. And it was only up to 1948, and this was in 1954 when we were there. And we asked them if they had no later information than that, and they said no, that all the people who had written books on this subject were merely doing it for the money that was in writing books and selling books, and so that there was no further information on this. So Mr. Van Tassel told of an incident of where he had seen a B-36 bomber flying and a craft, a circular craft, of approximately the same diameter as the B-36 was in wingspan. And this was followed by an F-86 jet. And he had sent a report to the Air Force, as requested on their forms, on this sighting. And also another man who observed the same thing at a distance of about 8 miles sent in his report. So we asked the Office of Public Information to dig out this report, and we as good citizens would stay another day in Washington, D.C. and help this office evaluate the information of his sighting, because they stated that there was no information since 1948. Mr. Stevenson, yes, Mr. Stephenson, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S-O-N, called the Wright-Patterson Field in Dayton, Ohio, and asked a Colonel Garrett to send him this certain information or this certain form that Mr. Van Tassel had sent in, that we wish to evaluate it in Washington in the Office of Public Information. And he asked us to come back the next day, and we would go into it. So we, instead of going back the next day, we telephoned to see if he had the report, and he said no, he was sorry that he was informed that this report had already been evaluated, and it was decided that it was merely a reflection off the B-36. And this object was about 1,000 feet away from the craft, so it was a pretty good reflection. But the Office of Public Information did not have the information. So when you wonder where any movie might be, well, I don't know exactly where it might be, but you'd have just about as hard a time getting that, perhaps, at this time as you would one little report.
Are you implying that if there is a movie, that it's in the hands of our government, then? If there is. Is that what you're implying?
Yes, I am implying that there are perhaps several movies, and they are not available.
Mm-hmm. Bill Kent?
Just a moment ago, Mr. Hill, you mentioned that you felt that the sightings in New Jersey of Howard Menger were correct, and one of the things, in your opinion, one of the things that you agreed with him was his report of the emanation of energy. Now, I wanted to ask you, Mr. Aho, how does energy emanate?
Well, if you take a simple magnet and observe the effect of the field, you see an emanation of energy in a magnetic field. Well, then, in these pictures on flying saucers, you see a definite pattern of a similar type, but it is in the light form rather than invisible form as you see it on a magnet, but it has a very similar pattern.
You have to realize, Mr. Aho, that magnetism is recognized by science as a static force. A static force cannot be utilized to power anything without energy applied. In other words, it can only be used as a conversion factor.
Yes, but again, if you evaluate a magnet from the standpoint of science, you also find the statement that this is what a magnet does, but we do not know why it does it. I have an interesting discussion on that. I have presented this. I have attempted to find out why a magnet is a magnet, and I have gone quite a ways in that, and I will have further information on it as we do further research. But those questions, because of flying saucers, perhaps will be answered very shortly, and it may change many of our basic laws in electronics.
You made a statement before in reference to the Howard Menger photographs and in reference to emanation, and then later on you came out at the end of a sentence with the statement, have not been propelled by the method they are. Now, that's a definite statement. In other words, by saying the method they are, you are stating actually, in fact, that you know the method these objects are propelled by. Do you, Mr. Ayo?
Within certain limits, yes.
Have you any evidence to substantiate your particular claim?
Yes, that's... I try to bring that out in my lectures to a certain degree, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but there is a pattern that is holding true. So we must assume, as we do in any other research, that you start at a certain point and you say, well, perhaps this is so. So within certain limits, I could say that I perhaps...
You realize, of course, that the rules of experiment do not allow for assumption.
Correct. If that statement was made in exactly that term, that I know exactly how they are propelled, why, I will withdraw it, because if I did know exactly, I would be building one right now instead of sitting here talking.
All right, I'll accept that.
Well, getting back to George Adamski for a moment, I wonder if you realize that a man named Gerald Baker has contradicted most of what Adamski says in his first book. Are you familiar with Mr. Baker's statements?
No, I am not.
Well, I have brought all this out in my magazine, of course. Briefly, Baker says that the whole desert contact was pre-planned. He says that the photograph in the Adamski book, which Baker was said to have taken, he didn't actually take. It was taken by Adamski himself. And he brings out another, several very important points, which would take quite a while to go into. The point is that several of the people who were on the desert with Adamski, as well as Mr. Baker, no longer stick by the stories they told at the time. They contradict the evidence given by Mr. Adamski and throw the whole sighting into doubt. Have you anything to say on this point? It's a very important sighting, as you know.
Yes, I would stick with Adamski because, well, I have met the man personally and I have talked with him.
Well, I have too. I've interviewed him.
I do not feel that he was making up the story that he was telling.
Yet you have several men who disagree with him. It's only his word against, I'd say, three of his different witnesses who now contradict portions of his book.
Well, man's strength is actually in his opposition, and regardless what you do, even if you wanted to build a hospital, you would find opposing forces to building a hospital. So we find opposition in all fields, so we will find diversified opinions also.
Arthur Aho, and talking about the Howard Menger story, you seem to lend credence and authenticity to the fact that he has told his story the same way so many times. Isn't it true that if a man had studied a prepared script and memorized it verbatim, that he would repeat it time after time the same way, and it need not lead credence to anything, nor need it or authenticate the fact that what he says is true?
Well, perhaps so, yes, but if you look at a certain pattern, I would say, that is behind the whole scene, if that holds true, well, perhaps it is more of a proof. You take the Adamski pictures for it.
Well, let me explain just how I mean this. If a man had committed a crime and he were preparing a story which he would present to the police, he would take great pains in studying the lie that he is going to perpetrate so that he can get away with this crime. Would you lend credence and authenticity to his story merely because he can repeat it time after time, even though we know the man had committed the crime?
Morris, no. Would you say because a man repeats a story in the same way and believes in it sincerely, therefore he's telling a lie?
No, what I'm trying to drive at is this, that a man who will give a pat story the same way as has been reported by Arthur Aho, that a man who prepares a story the same way verbatim does not lend authenticity to his statement merely because he can repeat the same words over and over and over.
Mr. Aho, did you say verbatim?
No, I did not. A certain pattern.
The basic story
is the same.
Right. Mr. Aho, have you ever seen a saucer which had landed?
No, I have not.
You said earlier that the atmosphere of the area around a saucer which you had seen appeared to be the same as the atmosphere of a planet. Have you ever been on another planet? Or did you get your information from people who claim they have seen this particular thing?
No, we observe a planet. Take Venus, for instance. We have not seen the planet itself. We see a condition around
it. When you say we, Arthur, who do you mean by we?
Well, I say we. We have an accumulated source of information which is in the books put in by our astronomers who make a...
Well, then let me state my question again. Have you ever been to another planet?
Well, not to my knowledge, I haven't. No.
If I recall correctly, you said you did not have a telescope.
No.
Have you ever seen another planet?
I have seen other... Yes, I have seen planets with a naked eye, yes.
With the naked eye. Then you have thousands upon thousands of different items and things and conditions that may distort your vision before you actually see this planet. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Right.
Yes.
Now, this is another question, and I want to take you back to this cave with Van Tessel. When he was holding this, and I use the term advisedly, when he was holding this seance, supposedly for receiving these messages, you said you were there at one of these times?
Yes, I was.
Were you also trying to receive a message?
No, I was an observer.
Well, I've observed seances where people said that they were going to receive a message, and I've tried hard through concentration, merely through curiosity, because if this is possible for one human being, why isn't it possible for another? And I tried concentration. Didn't you feel the same urge while you were there?
Well, perhaps we all feel urges of different kinds that we never fulfill, so that has no bearing.
Now, getting back to what you said about the people who are trained for telepathic messages, you said that there was a danger or a possibility of people cracking up.
Not in telepathy, no. I meant in experimenting into, you might say,
psychic research?
Psychic research, rather than telepathy.
Is it possible that these people who cracked up were close to the breaking point to start with, and that's why had hallucinations?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. I wouldn't go into that too deep, because it could be a result or it could be a cause. It's rather a broad field because a lot of them have run into it.
Yes, Bill.
Sergeant Paley, you have asked Mr. Aho, I'm repeating, about mirages, heat waves, highly hypnosis.
May I ask one question, Bill?
Yes.
Will you save this outline for me? Go ahead.
I should tell the sergeant the story at this time. This is very comical. It fits in with his attitude on flying saucers. And it goes about like this. I have a good friend by the name of John right next to my home. He's a businessman. And because he was a good friend of mine, I gave him some flying saucer literature to read, thinking that he might like it. Well, he took it as a big joke. I said, that was really funny. So he looked it over all right, but his approach from then on was whenever he saw me in the vicinity, and especially if several people were around, why, he would say, "Hey, Art, how's the flying saucers? See any lately?" And naturally, we'd joke back and forth because I didn't take it too serious what he said, and he was really joking. This went on for about 4 or 5 months. And I was embarrassed several times because, after all, these other people were not familiar with what I had been doing in the field and so on. But one day, going by there, he called me over, and again he had several people around him. He says, "Hey, Art," he says, "come here." He says, "but before I say anything, I'm going to take back every word I ever said about flying saucers." He said, "Well, I was flying to Reno with 4 men, and we were all sober, too. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and we saw something that did not belong in the air." And he has a lot of flying time himself, as did all the other 4 people who were in the airplane with him. They said, "We saw an object that was green in color, a pale green, come in from our left side. It looked bigger than the moon would, if we were observing the moon, much bigger than that. And it went across our path in front of our airplane at a fairly, it seemed like about a quarter of a mile distance. And then, all of a sudden, it went out. The green light just disappeared, and all that was left were 3 small spots. And he said, from all appearances, it looked like he was looking into the portholes of some kind of a vehicle. He says, "I don't know what I saw," he says, "but I know that it was unusual. So we called the tower in Reno, which is a traffic control tower, and asked them, or told them what we had seen, and the tower attendant reported back that this same thing, or a similar thing, had been seen in the area several times that week. I think he said 4 times. So he ended up telling me that he did not know what he saw, but if somebody ever talked about flying saucers again, he was not going to laugh, because he had changed his mind completely.
This is WOR Radio, your station in New York, and this is Long John with the Party Line. We're around from midnight to 5:30, 6 mornings during the week. During that time, we have the pleasure of talking with many interesting people.
I've indicated before, you've talked about kaleidoscopic spots, static electricity, spots before eyes, mirages, heat waves, all sorts of directions. Now, Sergeant Paley, specifically, what do you disagree with in Mr. Aho's story, and why?
I haven't disagreed with his story.
Oh, you buy it?
I disagree with parts of his story. Now, many times on this program, I have stated that I don't disagree with the saucer story. As a matter of fact, I think at some time past, I gave John a magazine in which it showed a picture of the Navy's flying saucer built in 1946, capable of doing 475 miles an hour. I have tried to justify Howard Menger's story in that what he possibly saw was one of the experimental government crafts that landed there for repairs, gave him a diversionary story about being from outer space merely to confuse him. And then, once having established that point, used it as a stopgap from one point to another. I don't disagree with saucer stories. I don't believe contact stories. And when I hear these stories where people tell me that they have a hazy photograph, or that they see the pawnbroker symbol in the air, and now the latest one is that we have an envious pawnbroker because his lights were green. I want more proof.
Mr. Paley, Sergeant Paley, I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question. If you believe in flying saucers, why should it be so difficult to buy a contact story? Unless you don't believe that the saucers are controlled by some intelligence, why should it be difficult to believe that there is somebody in them, Venusians, Martians, people from planet Clarion, that's a planet not in our solar system, it's behind the moon, Why should it be so difficult to believe that some people have been contacted by the occupants of these UFOs? That is, if you believe in flying saucers.
I believe in flying saucers to the extent that we do have intelligence operating them. This intelligence is the U.S. military, in my opinion.
Oh, I see, I see.
And not from outer space.
All right, fine. Now, in other words, what you are saying, Sergeant, is that the United States government, since at least 1947, we'll forget about the fact that there's been people on the program who have told us that flying saucers or that unusual phenomena is mentioned in the Bible, and some people like to tie it up with flying saucers. But you will admit that since 1947, there's been a lot of action. Kenneth Arnold was the first one to cite something unusual, and he called it a flying saucer. He coined the term. So for the past 10 years, the government has been flying these things around, and they haven't told anybody on this planet about it. And you are saying that the newspapers, magazines, and news publications, and broadcasters would keep this a secret. No one would slip up and divulge the information.
I am saying that it is a possibility that the newspapers do not have the information. It could be very classified. And that's why the story, the illusion of being from outer space, was developed in the Howard Menger story.
Well,
I believe
What was about Howard Menger's story?
Well, Howard Menger claims to have had a contact.
Yes, yes.
That they landed in his orchard.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it was an American-made craft, an earthbound craft.
Oh, but then you believe that... Oh, this is a very interesting, very, very interesting point that you made. You now, Sergeant Paley, tell us that you believe that Howard Menger did have an experience as related.
Oh, I clarify that by saying if he had a contact, it is a possibility. It is one of these made.
All right, fine. Let's accept that. And you feel that they have misled him so that they wouldn't have to divulge the source of this craft that landed in his apple orchard by telling him... The occupants told them that they were Venusians or Martians.
That's a possibility. That's
all
the
right.
Possibility
fine.
I stated.
All right. Now, let's accept that momentarily. Let's go a step further. You've seen the Howard Menger pictures, haven't you?
I've seen pictures that they said were the Howard Menger pictures.
Don't you at least have confidence in me when I showed you the things that they are pictures that Howard Menger presented to me?
I have confidence in you, John. I do not have confidence in the pictures.
Ah, well, in other words, you're answering the question before I answered it. I mean, before I asked it, you're answering it. So, in other words, what you're saying now is that the pictures are phonies. So if the pictures are phonies, evidently the entire story is phony. And if the entire story is phony, then evidently no one is having a physical contact. And if no one's having a physical contact, evidently there are no such thing as saucers made by our government or any other government or any other planet.
Oh, no. I gave you the magazine in which the United States saucer was pictured.
Wasn't this something that was on the... Draftsman's table?
No, this was flying 475 miles per hour.
That saucer. Was it saucer-shaped?
Yes.
That was back in 1946. That's very interesting.
France also had one at the same time. During that era, one of the Norwegian countries, I'm not sure just which it was, had an inventor who developed a four-seater. Supposedly to be put on the American production line for the family.
Morris, excuse me, one of the Scandinavian countries, you mean?
Scandinavia.